I just want to encourage you, as Lana has already done, I just want to give my own encouragement there for tonight's Mayor's Prayer Gathering. It's not very often that we have the privilege of hosting that event here. And I consider it part of hosting that we say, we're going to come and be here. So I encourage you, I'm not sure what else you have planned tonight, to come and be a part of that time of prayer as we lift up our city together. Today we're continuing in our series called Forever Changed. And as we consider the way the first believers were transformed by their encounters with the risen Lord Jesus. And it's also our privilege during this time to hear from some of our own during this series about how they've been, how you've been forever changed by Christ. And today it is our privilege to hear from Jim Dice. Jim is currently serving as an elder on session. His particular area of oversight is in facilities and grounds. So would you please welcome Jim Dice as he comes. Come on up, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll just kind of stand right in here. So Jim and I have had a chance to get to know each other over the time, but particularly this week and talking about your story. You grew up in the church young and made a connection with Jesus when you were young, but then as you kind of moved into adolescence, you stepped away from church involvement and really stayed away for quite a while. And then as you became a young adult, you weren't really connected with church, and something huge happened. You got drafted into military service. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you could just tell us what that was like for you back then.
It's a very difficult period. I was in Fresno City College. Greetings. You're hereby ordered to, and some of you have seen that letter. And so I had to do something, and I joined the Navy. And the Navy was an interesting experience. And at that time, some of you old enough to remember the Vietnam War, military people were not welcomed in any way. They were sort of, what made you do something like that? So it was a difficult period.
And then, so you had that season away a couple years in active service, and then you came back home, and because of some of those realities you just described, as you talked to me about your story, it sounds like that, in particular, even more so than being in active service, as you came home, that was particularly difficult. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, ongoing then, out of the military, there's still, I would say I had a lot of negative feelings about a lot of things. Really was not in a good place, was not involved in any kind of fellowship. One of my best friends, Dave Fever, encouraged me for 9 months to come down to Seekers, which was the college group that met here at that time. And so that was a transitional period.
But he kept on inviting you for 9 months, and you resisted. So what was going on? Why weren't you coming? When he was your friend, he was inviting you to this thing, why didn't you come?
I've had a chance to prepare for this answer, and I'm still struggling with the answer, because why do any of us stay away from God? I mean, I was embarrassed. I was drinking, smoking, going to parties at Fresno State, fearful of the unknown, fearful of being ejected. Just kind of, I have a known place, group of friends, but that's kind of an unknown group.
But something, but even in the midst of that, you were still really not happy with life, and so finally...
Yeah.
Finally, something switched, and you decided to take Dave up on his offer, and you came to Seekers. What happened when you came?
Well, the rest of the story is that I was fearful of coming alone, so he was going to Cal Poly, so I either had to go alone or go with him. So I came. Will Ackles, who some of you know, said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "I don't know. What's a Christian?" So he gave me a handful of pamphlets. This is great. Handed me like six of these little tracts. Said, take these home and read them and tell me which one of these you think is really effective. So the four spiritual laws, God's here, you're here, you turned the chair, that one made sense. Yeah. And so I did pray in October of 1970 to go to church, read the Bible, and if God is who he says he is, then I'd probably figure it out.
So a pretty transformational experience. As you came, and you told me that as you came, it was like they knew who you were before you walked in the door.
The prayers of many college people. Yeah, some of them sitting in the audience today.
Yeah. So they were glad to see you.
Yes.
And not too many months after that, you went on the trip of a lifetime that was totally transformational to you. So tell the congregation about that.
Some of you have gone. The Urbana Mission Conference at that time was back in Urbana, Illinois. At that time, there was a train out of Southern California. We got on in Mojave. rode across the country in a train full of college people going to Urbana, and that was really a big, big eye-opener for me, going from a group of 40, 50 college students in Fresno to 15,000 college students in Urbana with a whole armory full of mission opportunities. Many, many mission organizations target college people with opportunities to serve, and so that was just something I'd never experienced before.
Yeah, and it sounds like between the kind of the reading of the tracts and your experience here for a few months and then going to that Urbana on the glory train, that your whole perspective on life and on what God could do with you was totally changed.
Yes.
And so, you know, a lot's happened in your life since then, and you've had lots of opportunities to serve, but in different ways here. And I'm just wondering if you can talk about how you're still impacted by that experience that you had so many years ago.
I think for many of us, as I reflect on that moment in time, it's still very real to me, and I think that prayer for me has been a significant part of my walk with the Lord. And certainly many of you here who have mentored and befriended me, it's been an ongoing dialogue with people. I think that the core of what I was looking for, which I probably didn't know at that time, was just honest, meaningful conversations with people, honest relationships where we could really get to know each other in a very real way.
And so now you have a passion for that same
prayer. Prayer partners, you're all invited. Come back and pray once a month for the services. I do that.
Yeah, and especially as someone, I mean, obviously many of us or all of us could probably talk about it, but you in particular, when you were far from God, there was a group of people who were praying for you. You didn't know it. You didn't know what was happening until you walked into that group and realized these people already know me.
Yep.
They've been praying for me.
Yep.
And now your life is absolutely changed because of what you experienced in that community.
Yeah.
So would you say that you've been forever changed by Jesus?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's what happens when we encounter the risen Jesus and when we encounter the truth of Jesus in community. So thanks, Jim, for...
There's one other transformational moment. I married Carol in 74, and any of you that are married, that's a transformational moment,
indeed,
too.
Indeed. Let's say thanks to Jim for sharing. How fun. Well, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to John chapter 20. In verses 19 through 23, there's a group of men that we're going to focus on today who might have been feeling, I think, a little bit like Jim did when he got back from Vietnam. But Jesus was going to rock their world in the same way that Jim's world was rocked. So let's look at that together. John chapter 20, starting in verse 19. Hear now God's holy word. Says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's ask him to help us understand it. Holy Spirit, come now. Open up our hearts and minds to what you would speak to us. Not that we would just have more information, but that we would experience your transformation and be forever changed. For your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what a weekend it must have been for these guys. On Thursday night, they experienced one of the most profound evenings that they had ever shared with Jesus. Maybe in this same room, he served them by washing their feet and talking to them about the future and said some very hard things, if you remember those chapters of John's Gospel. But he also shared with them some wonderful promises about the future. And then later that night, he was arrested. And the guys scattered in fear. And the next day was the worst day of their lives. As Jesus was crucified, dead, died and was buried. And they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to think. They didn't know if their lives were in danger. All they knew was that the one they believed to be the Messiah was dead. And that in his hour of deepest need, most of them had abandoned him. We don't really know what they did that evening on Friday and that day of Saturday. But on Sunday morning, Mary came with news of an empty tomb. And later, she came again with news of an encounter with Jesus, alive and risen. And they were probably wondering, is it true? Is he really alive? Could it be true? And if he is, will we get to see him? What do we do now? And what are the authorities going to do? What will they come after us? And so they gathered together. And they huddled up in some house. And like I said, maybe the same room that they used on Thursday night with Jesus. And they locked the doors because they didn't know what was going to happen. And they waited. And they waited. They waited all day for what they didn't know. They were hiding. And they didn't know what else to do. But locked doors, turns out, can't hold back the risen Jesus. And John simply states that Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Jesus came and stood among them. That's what can happen in the resurrected body. He wasn't a ghost or wasn't just a spirit. It was Jesus in the flesh, and he showed them his scars to prove it. On Thursday night, remember, he told them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And now, while their hearts were absolutely troubled, he says graciously to them, "Peace. Peace be with you." And the gift of his peace is his love. It's his forgiveness. It's his favor. It's his presence. It's his blessing to them. And the disciples, when they saw Jesus and they realized that he was there, were nothing short of overjoyed to see him. But let's look again at these last verses, because Jesus gives the most remarkable call and the most incredible gift. Verse 21, it says, "Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.'" Wow. Think about that. How has the Father sent Jesus? He sent the Son from the safety and the perfection of heaven to the peril and to the brokenness of earth. He sent him to make his dwelling among us, right in the midst of the brokenness, so that we might see in Christ who God is and how to live God's way. He loved the world so much that he gave the one and only Son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have deep, lasting life. And in the same way, now Jesus sends them. He sends them from the safety of that upper room to live beyond those locked doors so that the world would know who God is and how to live God's way. He sends them to be a witness of God's revelation in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who is the Christ. He sends them, this ragamuffin group of young disciples, to bring light to darkness, to bring healing to brokenness, to bring deep lasting life to the dying, to bring the wholeness of the gospel to a world desperate for good news. He sent them. And of course, that's something that they could never do on their own. Who are they to be sent like the Father has sent the Son? It was an impossible commission, except for Jesus' promised gift, the Holy Spirit. Verse 22 says, "And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now we assume that in his resurrection body, he had good breath as he breathed on them. Because if it was still his dead guy breath, it was really bad, I bet. But Jesus breathed on them. Jesus had promised that he would give them the Holy Spirit to empower them to live out his mission. He promised that before his death. And the Spirit wasn't just some magic potion or some spell of effectiveness or some figure of speech. This was the very presence of God in spirit. And just like God breathed life into the nostrils of Adam in Genesis, now Jesus breathes life into these sent ones. What an incredible gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Not just come to give us comfort when we're sad, but to empower them to be Christ's witnesses to the world. And after he had given them the Holy Spirit, he said, "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." At first reading, this might seem absolutely disconnected from the call to be sent ones who've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Anybody else struggle with that at the first reading? But part of what it means to be sent in the same way that Jesus is sent by the Father is that they get to help people come to faith in Christ. And when people come to faith in Christ through the proclamation of these disciples, those people will be saved. Their sins will be forgiven. And if people reject Christ in the midst of their proclamation, they will not be saved. See, it's important to remember here that no one had ever led someone else to faith in Christ. There were no pamphlets explaining the four spiritual laws. There was no evangelism explosion. Only Jesus himself had proclaimed the forgiveness found in him. But now his disciples, who've been filled with the Holy Spirit, could be effective by the Spirit, had power to proclaim in absolute assurance the forgiveness of sins when someone confessed Christ as Lord and Savior. In other words, being sent by Jesus in the same way that he was sent by the Father is a huge deal. They couldn't remain in hiding anymore. They had to get out from behind those locked doors and share the incredible good news that Jesus who was crucified and dead but then resurrected, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and that anyone, no matter who they are or what they've done, anyone who believes in him shall be saved from all their brokenness and given deep, lasting life. And that's exactly what they did. These same disciples who were hiding in fear became God's first Christian missionaries. And the book of Acts tells us how they came out from behind those locked doors and they risked their lives to share the incredible news of Christ. It cost them everything. And guess what? It worked! The Holy Spirit filled them up with the courage and the wisdom and the knowledge and the discernment and everything they needed to advance the gospel. And it advanced. Praise the Lord. So here's the deal. The same is true for us. The commission from Jesus here in the end of John's gospel isn't just for those first believers. John didn't include these words in his gospel to simply validate the ministry of the apostles. He included these words to be heard and received by every one of his readers. And who's that? You. And me. Church, if you are in Christ, You share this incredible privilege and responsibility of being sent by Christ in the same way that the Father sent Him. Jesus says to you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He says to you, receive the Holy Spirit. He says to you, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. If you are in Christ, you are one of God's missionary people. You are a sent one of Christ. So is that how you think of yourself? When you wake up in the morning, do you think, today I am sent into this world in the same way that Christ Jesus was sent from the Father? Are you living as one who has been sent by Christ? Do you have a missionary mindset about your city or your neighborhood or your workplace or your local school? Are you praying regularly for the well-being of this city? Are you praying regularly for the people in your lives that don't know Jesus? Are you intentional about building relationships with people in all your circles of influence simply for the sake of sharing the joy and the love of Christ with them? Are you working to help others grow as disciples of Jesus as you work to grow yourself? These are the things that ones who are sent by Jesus are called to do. Several months ago, we had Pastor Troy Wilson come and preach for us. Remember? We talked about him already this morning in our meeting. Troy and his family have moved to San Francisco, if you don't know his story. They've moved to San Francisco into like a 750-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment, his family with three kids, for the purpose of launching a new EPC church, an Evangelical Presbyterian Church, there in the city. And many of you were curious about how one goes about starting a church in a city like San Francisco. And what Troy has been doing in these last several months is he's been building relationships with people in his neighborhood and in his kids' schools and at the grocery store and in the park. And as he does that, he's been talking to people about their faith and sharing his own faith. He's been hosting people in his home and meeting people for coffee and setting up discussions to talk about faith and the Bible and Christianity. He's been praying like crazy. And at some point down the road, we're not exactly sure when, he and his team are going to invite everyone they've been connecting with to a place that's big enough for them to gather. And they're going to have church. And we think, many of us, wow, isn't that great how God has called Troy to such a task and that Troy was willing to have to leave this great gig he had in Roseville to launch into this hugely risky venture of starting a church in San Francisco? And it is a wonderful and great thing that God has called him to. But those things that Troy is doing are the same things that every disciple of Jesus is called to do. The way that Troy is thinking about his city is the way that every disciple of Jesus is called to think about his city or her city. The willingness that Troy has demonstrated to follow God's call, even when it's risky, is the same willingness that every disciple of Jesus is called to demonstrate. You may not be called to start a new church, but all of you are disciples, you who are disciples of Jesus, are called to be the church. So first press, this text demands that we ask ourselves, are we living as ones sent by Jesus? Or are we hiding behind locked doors for fear of the world? When those first disciples were hiding and afraid, Jesus graciously showed up and stood right in the middle of them. He reminded them of the truth of their calling in Christ. Then he breathed on them and gave them the life of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowered them to get out from behind those locked doors and be the church to share the gospel with the world. First Press, that same Holy Spirit is at work in you. So may we be transformed. May we be forever changed from hiding in our Christian ghettos for fear of the world to living. Because when you're hiding, you're not really living. May we live every day as ones who are sent by Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, for the sake of Christ's mission that's given to him by God the Father. Let's live as sent ones. That is who you are in Christ. As the Father has sent Jesus, so now Jesus sends you and me. May we receive the Holy Spirit and move out from hiding to living. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer.